Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, and shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Isha from the House of Israel, standing in for Morey Ishaya Israel, here to bring you another beautiful program of Nothing But the Truth. Of the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. And we will bring you the truth today, the truth of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of knowledge, the Elohim of truth. Yahweh is the Elohim of Elohim, the only savior, and there is none else. And today we're continuing open questions if you have them. I have the YouTube chat line before me, and if I need to go to the Facebook chat line for questions, I can go there also to look out for your questions. If you have any questions, we will be answering questions. We will also be taking callers, if you want to call in with your question, on our blog talk line, and the number is 347-838-8963. All of these avenues are available to you to ask questions if you'd like to. And if you don't have any questions, it's okay. We're still going to teach on Yahweh's word. But if you have any other questions, we can deal with them today. Let me just pull up here to see if we have any on the YouTube so far. And if not, that's fine. But again, if you do have any questions, you can type them in on YouTube, on Facebook, or you could call us on Blog Talk at 347-838-8963. And we will receive your questions and or comments that you would like to contribute. Hallelujah. And again, as I said, we will be discussing and dealing with Yah's word. Why Yah's word? Well, because Yah's word is the only word, is the only message, it is the only truth that we have that is verifiable, undeniable, and cannot be debated, argued, or disproven. Of course, many people would like to debate, argue, and attempt to disprove the word of Yah. Nevertheless, it is impossible. Why would I say such a thing? I say such a thing if you go with me to the book of Proverbs, believe around, let me see, make sure I got the right chapter. Proverbs, the 21st chapter, the 30th verse, it reads, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the word of Yah or against Yahweh." There is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against Yah's word. And I failed to mention that if you do call in on Blog Talk, you have to press the number one. But again, there is no wisdom, there is no counsel, there is no understanding against the word of Yah or Yahweh. And why do I say such a thing? Because the scriptures say such a thing. And how can I prove that the scriptures are the truth when it says there's no wisdom, no counsel, no understanding against Yah? Well, let me show you what it states in the book of Genesis. Just quickly and briefly, because I see we have a question on our YouTube, a couple of them, and I'm going to answer them right after I deal with this Genesis, the first chapter. The statement was made by me that Yah's word is the only true word. And I showed you Proverbs 21 and 30, letting you know that there's no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against Yah. Scientists, which are the authoritative word of truth in America and in the European nations and in the westernized civilizations, they regard science and scientists as the authority of knowledge. And they regard this ridiculous theory that they call evolution in the Big Bang, they regard this as how things were made. They tell you that the Big Bang was when something exploded and created light. Well, what kind of nonsense is that? There's nothing going on, and all of a sudden, here is this bang. They have no explanation for it. It's just that there was a bang. How do you have so many degrees behind your name, and your best explanation for the beginning of time is a big bang? Well, Yahweh said in chapter 1 of Genesis, the first verse, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and earth. See, there you go right there. In the beginning, Elohim, the Most High, the Supreme Power, created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, meaning there was nothing there. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Yah's Spirit moved. Yah created. Yah's Spirit moved. And Yahweh Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. No big bang. No monkeys to humans. No fish to lizards. No lizards to dinosaurs. And dinosaurs to de-evolve into birds. It's just Yah's word is what created and started everything. Now, it gives you explanation, Yah's word. It tells you what happened. It tells you how it happened and who did it. But your teachers just tell you that something big started to bang. Because there's no wisdom, there's no counsel, and there's no understanding against Yah. Now, let me read one of these questions. I thought I saw two of them, so let me see. First question I saw here on YouTube was saying or asking, Shalom Morey, can you give, and shalom to everybody in our internet audience if I failed to greet you, my apologies. Shalom to everyone listening and watching in our internet audience. We know the only reason you are tuning in is because you're a great fear and love toward the mighty Yah. So shalom and hallelujah. And let's see, can you give me more understanding on Ezekiel 39 and 14? Also more understanding on this Gog and Magog. Let's go there. Ezekiel 39 verse 14, where it reads, and they shall sever out men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. Well, this is what Yahweh is letting us know here, is that because earlier in the chapter, let's see if I can catch it, let's see here. Let's start at the 8th verse. It says, behold, it is come, and it is done, saith Yahweh Elohim. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and that they, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yah Elohim. And it shall come to pass that in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, in the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there they shall bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamun Gog. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burning of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith Yahweh Elohim. So what we're reading and getting is that Yahweh is explaining that after he brings Gog and Magog upon the land of Israel, he's going to destroy each and every one of them. How do we know that? Because if you read what it says, and this is how you get more understanding on who Gog and Magog is, it's in the book of Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, the first verse. It says, "And the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, which is in the northern parts of the earth." Some say it's Russia and China, but it's definitely in the northern parts of the earth. "Set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." And that's who Gog is. It's the name of the prince of Magog. Magog is the land, and Gog is the name of the prince of this land and of Tubal. "And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." And this is who all of the company that Yah said he's going to bury with Gog. This is all his company. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Now, Persia is modern day Iran. Ethiopia is Ethiopia in that area. Ethiopia is larger than what the country they assigned to it today. But it is that area of Ethiopia, Somalia, Eritrea. That is Ethiopia. Even the Sudan area is Ethiopia, which you would call Ethiopia. And Libya, which is Libya, the land of Libya, is still Libya. And with them, the shield and helmet. That's all these African nations with Gog and Magog. Gomer, European nation, and all his bands, the house of Tugarma, European nation, of the north quarters. As I was telling you, Gog and Magog, these are the northern lands. And who is in the northern areas? It's the Europeans. They go by different names: Norwegians, Belgians, Germans, English, Russians, Chinese, but these are the lands in these north quarters, and all his bands and many people with thee. "Be thou prepared and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword." And what land is going to be brought back from the sword? and is gathered out of many people. Who's the ones that's gathered out of many people? Against the mountains of Israel. He's saying that he's going to bring this humongous army to the land of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So this is speaking of a time when the children of Israel return and are dwelling safely. It's not speaking of yesterday. It's speaking of tomorrow, speaking of when we return home. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim. It shall also come to pass that at that time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and to take prey, and to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. You see? We will return. We will get our reparations, and we will get our repatriation, or our land back. And then, he says in verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to the prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take away a spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy, and say unto God, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against the people, my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. So Yahweh is letting us know that Gog and Magog, or Gog specifically, is the prince of Magog, the head of Magog and Tubal, meaning he is the king, he is the head, just like where it says in Isaiah the 14th chapter, in Isaiah chapter 14, it says here in verse 4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. And who is the king of Babylon? The king of Babylon is the head of Babylon. Trump is the head of Babylon. Obama was the head of Babylon. But it is whoever is the head of Babylon, whoever is the chief of Magog, Meshech. And so that's who Gog is. And who is Meshech? And look in Genesis, the 10th chapter. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, it says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, which was mentioned in Ezekiel, and Magog, which was mentioned in Ezekiel, and Madai, which wasn't mentioned, and Javan, and Tubal, who was mentioned, and Meshech, who was mentioned, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riptah, and Tugarma, who was also mentioned, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, in Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles, the lands, which is what isles mean, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue. after their families. And there you have it. Gog is the prince. That's why I said the prince is a head, is a king or a kingdom over Magog. Magog being a son of Japhet. Gomer, a son of Japhet. Meshech, a son of Japhet. Tugarmah, a son of Japhet. These are the European nations. As it said in Ezekiel, the northern quarters. Just ask yourself, who is in the northern quarters? And quarters was meaning the borders, the far ends of the north. Let me show you that again. It's Ezekiel 38, verse 6. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tugarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands. You see, this is who it is. Again, just let me remind you. Look what it says in Ezekiel 38, verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, letting you know Gog, which is a person or maybe the name of a family, is of the land of Magog, who is the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. They rule over these lands. And that's who this people are. And that's who will be coming upon Israel in the latter days. Let me see if we had any other questions on the YouTube. Says, one question says, can white people come to class and we do not have anybody but Hebrews enter into our gates on the Shabbat day services? But there are times where Europeans would be able to come into our gates during certain events. But no, not during our holy services. During all our holy services, they're restricted to Hebrews. Okay? Let's see. Any more questions here? I think I received the question in the text. You can also text me if you have a question. My number is 513-237-5911. And another question I received, Shalom, will you go back over the four types of tithes and the ones we should pay here and what is only for the land? And in Numbers 18, 25, verse 32, is that tithe for the priest to pay or for the Levites to pay a tenth of their tithes to the priest? All right. Tithes. The four types of tithes. And let's see if we have the four types of tithes. Let's go to the first tithe that we are by law supposed to pay. I'll go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. The question is asking, can we go over the four types of tithes? And specifically asking about the tithe paid in the Numbers, the 18th chapter. So let's look at that. And if you have any questions, again, type them on the YouTube chat or the Facebook chat. Or you can call our radio blog, 347-838-8963. Press the number 1. Or you can text me at 513-237-5911. Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Let's start reading at the second verse. States here, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before Yah, thy Elohim, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear Yah, thy Elohim, always. Now that's in the law, Deuteronomy the 14th chapter. You're commanded to tithe the increase of your seed, that the field bring forth year by year. Some people claim that if you don't have to give tithes today outside of the land, because tithes was only food. And maybe this is what they reference. But this is what Yah says. He says that you shall, I'm just going to read it. Hold that, but I just want to show you, this is all about Yah's word. And this is what Yah's word says in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. It says, "Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you." So if we don't add or take away from this here, then what we have is, "Ye shall surely tithe all the increase of thy seed," your seed, what you sow, "that the field that you sow it in bring forth year by year." So that means every year. "And you shall eat before Yah your Elohim." That means you take this tithe. It's a tithe that you set aside of the field, and you take it before Yah in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, which is obviously not America or Brazil. "Which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy grain or corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear Yah, thy Elohim, always." So this is what you're tithing. This is what you're tithing. The seed of your field and all the fruit that comes of it, the firstlings of your herds and all your flocks, and then you go before Yah where he chose to place his name, which is Jerusalem. "And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place is too far from thee, which Yah the Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yah the Elohim shall bless thee," meaning if you live all the way up in the land of Dan, which is not too close to Jerusalem, then you might not want to haul all this food and all these animals. So if it's too far, which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh the Elohim have blessed thee, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in thy hand, and thou shalt go to the place which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose. Now, why are you going to turn it into money? Well, that means you take all that food and all them flock, herds, all that stuff, and you go trade it in. You say, "Look, I got all this. Give me my money." You get your money. And then verse 26 says, "And you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusteth after. For oxen," so that means you take that money, and then when you get to Jerusalem, what you do now is what you will do is you will buy you some meat of the oxen. Yep, this is when you can eat meat. This is a good time to eat meat, I should say. Of the oxen. Or for sheep, lamb, for wine, yes, wine, for strong drink, liquor, for whatsoever thy soul desireth, that's clean, of course, nothing abominable, and thou shalt eat there before Yah, the Elohim, thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt, thou and thy household. This tithe is a celebratory tithe. This tithe is an honorary tithe. This is a tithe that you brought before Yah and you celebrated for all the blessings. And what did you do? And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. And that's because the Levite didn't have all these fields and all these flocks and all these herds and all this wine. They didn't have that because they didn't have the land. So once you bought that stuff or you brought that stuff, you would break the Levite off with some. So everybody was feasting. That's what you did. That's one type of tithe. Of course, we can't do that tithe here in America. Then it says in verse 28, at the end of 3 years, which means in the third year, and I'll prove that, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates. Which means in the third year, and let me prove this to you very briefly because I don't want you to think it every 3 years. It says in Deuteronomy 26, the 12th chapter, it says, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing. You see, go back to Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. You say, the third year, which is the year of tithing, means you have to know Yah's Sabbath of years. You must know it. It is imperative to know. It is a commandment to know. It is the word of Yah to know. It is the law to know. Yah's Sabbath of years. Because there's a third year, which is the year of tithing, that you must tithe all your increase in your gates. In all actuality, this tithe only happened every 7 years. Here comes the third year. At the end of that year is the year of tithing, and you store it up within your gates. 7 years later, the third year is the year of tithing. You store it up within your gates, a special type of tithe. It's not the Jerusalem tithe. It's the third year tithe. And why the third year? Because the third year is holy. Because the third is holy. It's for Yah's servant. And let's continue reading. Deuteronomy 14 and 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year. And you see, now it says of thine increase. And your increase is not just food. As you see, people turned food into money. So that person that made that money, was that part of their increase? It sure was. You shall tithe thine increase the same year and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hand, which thou dost. Which means the third year tithe was not a tithe that you turned into money and bought cognac with. It was a tithe that you stored up within your storehouses, so the Levite, the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow, the people that are the poor, because that's who becomes poor. People that don't have parents, people that don't have a husband, people that don't have a home, they become poor. It's harder for them. And so in the third year, which is the holiness, a holy year, because the third is holy, you're supposed to give to these folks. So this is a third year tithe. That's two different types of tithes right there. That's two different types of tithes right there. You have to have a third-year tide, and to know this tide, you have to know your years, the Sabbath of years. Now let's go to the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter. Let's see what kind of tithes are paid here. In Numbers 18, I'll start reading in the 8th verse. It says, "And Yahweh spake unto Aharon, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offerings. I have given thee the charge of my heave offerings of all the hollow things of the children of Israel unto thee. Have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by the ordinance forever." And maybe I need to go up a little bit further. Yep. Let's start at the 25th verse. I think that's what she quoted in her text. It says, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When you take of the children, of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for Yahweh, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer a heave offering unto Yah of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel. Ye shall give thereof Yahweh's heave offering to Aharon the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of Yahweh, of all the best thereof, even the hollow part thereof. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, When ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die." What we have here is another type of tithe, a tithe in which the Levites are to take, given to them, and bring it to Aaron and his sons so they can heave it, the tenth part of that. So it's a tithe of tithes. And then they can eat of what they were given. So that's the third part of the tithe. It says, is that tithe for the priest to pay or for the Levites to pay? It's for all the Levites to pay. The priests are part of the Levites also. They all had to heave this up. And what is the fourth kind of tithe? I believe the fourth kind of tithe would be the tithe of righteousness. It's the only other tithe that I can surmise in the Holy Scriptures. And why would we call it the tithe of righteousness? Well, because it's the tithe that you give to Yah's sanctuary wherever you're at. It's the tenth that you set aside because the tenth is holy wherever you're at. And you set this tenth aside for Yah's business. And what is Yah's business? Yah's business is feeding the poor. Yah's business is helping the Levite. Yah's business is helping the stranger. Yah's business is helping the fatherless. Yah's business is keeping his sanctuary operational. Yeah, sanctuary has to operate. How do I know this? Well, let me show you. In the book of Ezekiel, and then I'm going to get to the other question I've seen on YouTube. But I'm going to show you about this fourth tide. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, the 16th verse, it says here, therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be unto them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Yahweh is a sanctuary to the holy of his people that have sanctified him. If you sanctify Yahweh host himself and set him aside and let him be your fear, let him be your dread, then you're going to establish the sanctuary that he said he would be. And you're going to give tithes unto this, what you would call a sanctuary or a storehouse. Because this sanctuary that Yahweh is set up in you is going to want to do Yah's work. You're not going to want to just see the poor and not help them. See the fatherless and not help them. See the widow and not help them. You're going to want to help them. And how are you going to help them? With tithes. And how are you going to help your people that are lost, that need a sanctuary to come to? With tithes. That's how you help them. How in the world do you think we're able to broadcast every day with tithes? And are we helping people? It looks like we are helping people. And I praise the mighty Yah for the righteous that know that giving tithes is a holy thing wherever you're at. Look in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. It says here in verse 7, pay close attention to this language. It says, even from the days of your fathers are ye gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yah. Now, this is something that strikes me as A1 important, as top priority. Yahweh made a statement to the children of Israel and said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Yahweh, the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yahweh, the fountain of living waters, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and earth and sea and all that in them is, Yahweh, the only Savior, Yahweh, the only power, Yahweh, the only one that has a book that says that the black man and woman will be in captivity for 400 years. Yahweh is speaking to anybody that is of his people that is lost and that is asking, how do I return? Yahweh said, return unto me, and I will return unto you, said Yahweh of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? How do I return to you, Yah? How do I do this? And then Yah answers, will a man rob Elohim? Of course, you get the screw face. What you mean? Yet ye say, ye have robbed me. That's what Yah saying. You robbed me. And we say, how have we robbed you? And Yah says, in tithes and offerings. Yes, we are cursed with a curse, for we have robbed Yah, even this whole nation. So don't act like you ain't part of this whole nation. Don't say hallelujah one moment and then say, oh no, I ain't do that. Yes, you did. The whole nation did it. He said, in tithes and offerings, that's how you rob me. And he says in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yah of hosts, if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room to receive, tithes must be given. Because Yah has business. And if you're going to be about your father's business, then tithes is part of that business. And this is a tithe of righteousness. One more scripture. Let me show you one of your great ancestors that knew about this. Genesis, the 29th chapter. In Genesis 29, or I should say, Genesis 28, it says here, in Genesis 28, let me start at, just to get right to it, Jacob had just seen he had just had a vision of the Most High. And the Most High spoke to him and told him what he would be and what his children would be. And then Jacob woke out of his sleep in verse 16. And he said, surely Yah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of heaven. And Yaakov rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set up a pillar, and poured oil upon it, and called it that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. And Yaakov vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahweh be my Elohim, and this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be Elohim's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Because he was being righteous. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in the land that was sanctified to Yah yet. Yah didn't put his name there. Yah didn't do any of that. Yaakov knew that if Yahweh spoke to him and promised him this great blessing, that he was going to separate a holy part of all his increase unto him. And that's what he did. And who do you think Yaakov was to give this tenth to? Of course, he gave it to those that needed it. Because that's how you bought lend unto Yah. This proverb says, if you lend unto Yah, he shall pay back sevenfold. I think there was another question. Yes. It says, question. Isaiah 66 and 8. Is this where we are today in this process? Help me understand what Elohim is saying. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Isaiah 66 verse 8. Is this where we are at in this process? Let's see what the word of Yah is saying. Again, we are going over Yah's word. And if you have any questions on Yah's word, all you have to do is type in your question on YouTube, on our YouTube chat, or you can type it in on Facebook. We also have a question that asks, was Melchizedek Shem? And that's easy to answer. No, Melchizedek was not Shem. He was not the man that was named Shem, nor was he a Shemite. Melchizedek was a Canaanite. Melchizedek was a Hamite. And you know he was a Hamite because it lets you know that the Canaanites were the ones in the land at that time, the Shemites. But we're here at Isaiah 66 and 8 to see, are we in this process? Or is this where we are at in this process? Is that what the question? Is this where we are today in this process? Isaiah 66 and 8 reads, Who have heard such a thing? Who have seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. I can't say this is where we're at today in this process. Let me show you what's going on. Let's start at the first verse so you can get your understanding about this. In Isaiah 66 and 1, it says, "Thus saith Yahweh." Also, you can call 347-838-8963. That's 347-838-8963. You can press the number 1 if you want to ask a question on our Blog Talk Radio phone. In Isaiah 66, verse 1, it says, "Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" You see, Yahweh sits on heaven. Yahweh sits down on the heavens. That's his throne. That's why it's so glorious. Wouldn't you want a glorious throne? In the heavens is Yahweh's throne, and the earth is where he rests his feet. Where is the house that you will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. And all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as he that slew a man, and he that sacrificeth a lamb is as he that cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as he that offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense is as if he that blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Meaning, many of people, of Yah's people, are double-hearted. So you going to offer something to Yah, but you might as well be offering swine's blood, because you're not in this thing for real. You're not serious about what you're doing. You're doing your own ways and calling it holy, and you're making it an abomination. Verse 4 says, "I will also choose their delusions." He said delusions, because our people used to be delusional when they was doing this, and now we are plain delusional, thinking that you can have 10 different religions, 10 different ways, 15 different, 20 different, 35 different, 1,000 different denominations. That's delusional. As Moray Elisha used to say, when Moses came down from the mountain, he didn't come down with 10 different religions. He came with the 10 commandments. And there's only one way of Yah. But now our people are very delusional. Our people are very delusional. But Yah said, "I'm going to give you to your delusions. I'm going to choose these delusions. And I'm going to bring your fears upon you." Which has happened. In which we are living today. We're definitely in that part. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. So not only are we still delusional, we're seeing our fears in 3D. Heathens ruling over us and running through our land. Heathens calling themselves by our name. Heathens trying to act like they the children of Israel. In verse 5 it says, "Hear the word of Yah, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yah be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." See, this is something that's going to happen very shortly. A voice of noise from the city, verse 6, a voice from the temple, a voice of Yah that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she traveled, she bore forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? who have seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith Yah? Shall I bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Elohim? This is actually the next process. See, first now, we got to be glorified because of Yah's glory. We got to be shining like Yah's servant is supposed to shine. Because we're being cast away for Yah's name. And we got to step up to the shine. And then very shortly, when Jacob's trouble is upon us, because that's when Zion's going to travel. That's when the birth is going to happen. When Jacob's trouble is upon us, then the nation will be born. So we're not necessarily in this process right now. We're very close to it, though. It's coming up very, very shortly. Just stay tuned. Let me see if there were any more questions on YouTube that I might have missed. And Zion, her children is us. Zion's children is us. I don't see. Oh, here we go. Who is Eliyahu in Malachi 4 and 6? Let's see. The book of Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. It says, well, really, let's start at the 4th verse. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded you unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Who is Elijah? Elijah is Elijah. I can't tell you that it's anybody but Elijah. Because he didn't say, I'm going to send Elijah and he's going to look like Obama or anything of the sort. He just said, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet. And that's who Elijah is, a prophet. He's the prophet before the great and coming day of dreadful day of Yah. I can't put him no further than that. That's who he is. You had a lot of different people say Elijah. You had the Christians say that Elijah is John the Baptist. But obviously he wasn't. Because after John the Baptist came, he talked about Christ, and Christ split up the family. Christ said he came to split up the family. So how could John the Baptist be Elijah when he's supposed to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers? And he's talking about the Christ of the New Testament, and here comes the Christ of the New Testament, as he stated in the book of St. Matthew around the 10th chapter, the 34th verse. He said, think not that I'm come to bring peace, but I'm not come to bring peace. I'm come to bring the sword. I'm to come to put a variance in the difference between mother and daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, father against son, son-in-law against father-in-law, brother and sister. Thy enemies shall be those of your own household. How in the world could John the Baptist have been Elijah? And he spoke about a divider. Then you got people that said that Muhammad in the ancient days of the Quran was Elijah. When this guy taught that you could beat women. Yes, Surah 4, Iyat 32-34 lets you know that if you fear any disloyalty from your wives, admonish them first, meaning warn them. Then, if it continues, that you can take away their bed, meaning you don't have to make love to your wife. Then, beat them. Now, what kind of riffraff is that? And how do you think that brings the children to the fathers? The father beating on the mother, but he's supposed to be close to his sons, in which they're not, which they aren't. The father's able to sleep with his slaves, and so is the mother, so the children are too. The father can prostitute women. This is not a teachings of Elijah. Then you got people that say that Elijah Muhammad of the Nation of Islam was Elijah. And I don't see how that happened. Elijah Muhammad, not only did he not teach the word of Yah, nor did Muhammad in the Quran teach the word of Yah, nor did John the Baptist or the Christ in the New Testament teach the word of Yah. Elijah Muhammad did not teach the word of Yah. He didn't try to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Everybody running around talking about the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why aren't they talking about honor thy father and thy mother? They honoring the honorable Elijah Muhammad more than they honoring their parents. How in the world was that Elijah? Just because his name was Elijah? Doesn't make him Elijah. Not the Elijah Yah is talking about. And I don't know. They might call a bunch of other people after that Elijah. But Yahweh called, said he's going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah. And that's who you're going to get. And who's going to be able to stand him? And who's the fathers? Who's some of the fathers? Or one of the fathers that we got to turn to is in the book of Isaiah. The 51st chapter. This is Yah's word. If you had any more questions about Yah's word, then you can put it up on YouTube or Facebook. Just making sure I didn't miss any questions. Also, you can call in the Blog Talk, 347-838-8963. In Isaiah 51:1, it says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yah. Look to the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole whence ye were digged. Hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Yeah, look unto Abraham. He's your father. Look unto him. Sarah, these are your parents. Turn to them. What did they do? Remember the law of Moses. And if the prophet ain't teaching that, then how are you going to even call him Elijah or Elijah or Elijahu? But you can't call him anything that Yahweh called him if they ain't doing what Yahweh said he would do. Hallelujah. Again, we're dealing with Yah's word. We've dealt with some good questions. Y'all sent in some real good questions. And praise the mighty Yah, he gave me the answers to give to you. And if you have any more questions, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Blog Talk, we can get you covered. Just making sure we don't have any on Facebook that I missed. Nope. All right. Praise Yah. Again, we started out dealing with, let's see, another question. It says, so who is Munami? Some say Ahmad equals Muhammad. I don't know who Munami is. I never heard Munami.
Where'd that question go? I just seen it. Oh, they took it out. Well, you can put it back up. But I don't know who Munami is. And Yahweh never spoke of a Munami, Ahmad, or Muhammad. Never, ever. And let me tell you something about Yah's word as I was, as I began this with. Let me tell you, Yah's word is so perfect that you can't go wrong. If somebody come to you and tell you that the New Testament is the completion of Yah's word, you know they're lying to you. How do you know that? Go to Psalms 19, verse 7. This is how beautiful Yah's word is. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar to be strong in standing up for the Most High when people try to come and bring you riffraff. In Psalms 19, verse 7, it says, the law of Yah is perfect. End of story. That means you don't gotta, you can't let nobody come to you and tell you that, oh, the New Testament is a completion of Yah's word. You don't also have to let nobody come to you and tell you, as it says in the Quran, that it is the perfection of your religion. Number one, we don't have a religion. Number two, Yah's way is already perfect. How can somebody come and tell you this completes the word of the Most High when Yah's word is already complete? I have one other question that was sent in. Can you please explain how the first 4 days of creation factor in with time every year since the fifth day of creation was the first day of the first month of the first year? Good question. Let's go. And what do we have? So I'm going to read that again just in case you missed it. It might sound confusing to somebody. The question is, can you explain how the first 4 days, which is referencing to Genesis, the first chapter, verses 1 through 19, can you explain how the first 4 days of creation factor in with time every year, since the fifth day of creation was the first day of the first month of the first year? Okay, first off, the first 4 days of creation are part of the week. And the week is by far one of the most important parts of understanding time and how Yahweh deals with time. We must understand the science, the knowledge, or the wisdom or understanding of, and what is a week? A week is 7 days. A week is 7 days. And so the first 4 days of creation is part of the week. Very specifically, the first 3 days of creation had very little to do with what was happening on earth. Meaning, the first day, Yah made light. Not like the sun, not the moonlight, not the starlight, not the flashlight. He made light, period. Any light after that light come from that light. Any light, you can't have any light after that light that don't have its foundation in that light. Meaning, the first light that was made, how you know what is light and what isn't light. He didn't make the earth on the first day. He didn't make the seas and the skies. He made light on the first day. Then the second day, Yahweh made the heavens. And then the third, so there was no earth. There was nothing. And the third day, Yahweh made the earth and the seas, the herbs and the trees. This is what Yah made on the third day. Then on the fourth day, as it reads in Genesis 1 and 14, it says, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of heaven to give light up and to rule over the day and the night and divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. So what happened on the fourth day was the first day of the year was actually the fourth day, meaning this was when everything was born for timekeeping purposes on earth. The fifth day marked that the month and the year was one day old, one day past. That's why the fifth day is called day one, or the first day, or the first, because it's one day old now. The month, the year is one day old because the day prior was the beginning. That's why you see in Genesis 1 and 5, it says, and there was evening, setting, and there was rising or morning, Yom Akad. Day one is now completed because the second day has started. And so these other 3 days are factored in because you have to have a week, every week. And we're going to, and that is not a subject that you can just brush over. So we will get more into depth in that, maybe this Sabbath day. And let me see if there are any more questions that I can answer, because our time is running short. Let's see here. On the website, looking and studying the information on the calendar you use, the first year, there are only 29 days every month. Why is not the first day of each month that is called the new month? Well, we don't have just 29 days. We have 30 days. The day of the new month is a day. The reason it is not called the first is because Yahweh didn't call it the first. Yahweh called it the day of the new month. Quick examples in Exodus, the 19th chapter. Exodus 19, verse 1 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel going forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Shinar. And if you read it in Hebrew, we would say third Kodesh, or the new month, the same day, the day of the third new month. Yes, because that's the day of the new month. Quickly, in Ezekiel, the 46th chapter. In Ezekiel 46, in verse 1, it says, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new month it shall be open. The day of the new month, meaning there's a day when the new month comes in. That day is called the day of the new month, just like the birthday of your child. You don't call that day the first day one, or he's one day old. You don't say he's one day old on his birthday. Like, it's my son's birthday today. He's 10 years old. And I didn't say he was 10 years old when he turned 9, just because he was going into his 10th year. I had to wait a whole year to pass, and now happy birthday to my son, Eliakim. He's 10. But I had to wait a whole year, just like you got to wait a whole day to call some a day old. And so Yahweh says the day of the new month is, that's what it's called. And then the first after that, second, third, all the way up to 29, because this month has been 29 days old. When the next month comes in, 30 days was completed. All right. Again, we're going to have to teach more on that because it's not something we could just brush over. But I want to try to get the last questions out. Day is not counted as being part of the days on your calendar. Yes, it is. What do the names Moshe and Oshea define? Moshe means drawn from water. Oshea is an old translation of Yahweh's salvation. And if the new month day is not enumerated on your calendar as part of the days of the month, then why is it taught that there are 30 days in the month? I think I just explained that, but we will go over that a little later to explain it thoroughly, 30 days in a month. But as I just said, the day of the new month is a day. Could you read them together so as to understand my question? And I just kind of did. Well, praise the mighty Yah. Again, we are going to go over some calendar teachings. Prayerfully, the Shabbat day. And we'll cover those, but I did want to address your question. But we will have to deal with that more deeply because some people don't know nothing about Yah's calendar, and it's not something we can just go over quickly, but I will go ahead and answer them as best of my ability, as I hope I did. And I will be closing down now and giving all praises to the mighty Yah. And Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the House of Israel. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your interaction. Hallelujah. Shalom. Praise Yah.